in taking up the issue of Dinei Nefashos, that even the Gemar Din is only B'yom. They can't be Gomer the Din at night. So the Gemara is looking for a source. It seems that there's no direct source in the Torah. Direct. Generally speaking, you're looking for a direct source, but here it seems to be an indirect source because of the case. So the Gemara finds the proof in the case when the Jews sinned by Baal Peor. So there was a Magepha. There was a plague. So God told Moshe to take the Rashi Ha'am. The Pasuk, of course, is also very cryptic, because on a simple reading, it appears that God told Moshe to take the leaders, Rashi Ha'am, that's the Dayanim, the Sanhedrin, and to hang them. V'hoka osam Hashem neged Hashemesh. And hang them before God in daylight. Okay, so that's not really directly speaking about din. It's talking about hoka. Hoka is execution, is hanging. So then the Gemara needs to establish that this is a reference to hanging. Of course, you have to bear in mind that hanging is not one of the Dalad Misos. It's not one of the four Misos that's utilized. But first we establish, the halacha is that in certain cases, the kol haniskalin nitlin, all those who receive skila, the bodies are hung, or it's only those who receive skila because of avodah zarah. So in certain cases, after the execution, the body is hung for a brief period of time, because lo salin nivlasa, you're not going to leave the body overnight. All right. So basically, what we see from here is that these people were hung. Then the Gemara establishes that the term hoka is a reference to hanging. That's from the case of the sons of Shaul, who were hung to appease, to pacify the Givonim. All right, so that's a separate story, but nevertheless, the term hoka is used over there. So we've established that that's a reference to hanging. So then the Gemara asks the question. If that's the case, Kachas Kol Rashi Ha'am, if that's what it means to take the leaders of the people and to hang them, so then the Gemara wants to know what's their chait, what did they do? If the people sin, so why are the leaders chayef? So then the Gemara, then Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, that it's not meant to be taken literally, but it means to take them and to establish many bate dinim. That's what that was, the kachas rashi ha'am. You have to interpolate. Kachas rashi ha'am, take the leaders of the people and establish many bate dinim and execute justice, and then those who are guilty v'hoka osam. That's the way the pasuk structured. So then the Gemara wants to know, what's the reason? Why do you need many bate dinim? What's the rush, so to speak? So the Gemara wants, because if you want to say that it's the problem, because of the problem of you don't judge two capital cases in one day. So then the Gemara says that's only if it's two different misos, two different death penalties. But if it's one miso and one crime, if you're judging many people for the same crime, which would carry the same penalty, then you could do it even on one day. So the Gemara wants to know, so why do you have to, why did God tell Moshe to establish many bate dinim? One Beis Din could have tried more than one case, as long as it's the Sahari talking about the same crime. Those who were guilty, it's for the same crime, of Avodah Zarah, Baal Peor. So it's Beis Din is familiar. It's not like they're going from one subject to another subject. That's the problem. That in order to be sufficiently involved in all the complexities, they shouldn't take up more than one area, one case. But it's the same case. So the Gemara answers That, no. Kadesh Yoshev Charonaf Me Yisrael. That was a special situation. It wasn't because of that problem. It was because here there was a magefa, here there was a plague. And what God was telling Moshe was what to do, not what to do necessarily in terms of din, it would seem. It was an extraordinary case. But what to do in terms of removing the magefa. So if you want to remove the magefa, take the leaders and set up many batadinim and execute the criminals. That's the only thing you can do. So we have two issues that we have to deal with. One is, from whence do we learn what we started out with? Whence do we learn the halacha that ain done in dinin nefashos balayla? Now we have to return to the main question. The first question, where do you see from this that you cannot do dinin nefashos? You can't conclude, because we know that you can't start. You can't start dinin mamonos. But the issue is concluding. Why can't you conclude it? From whence do you see it? So we did the Meiri, and he learns it from the Gemara in the following way. Because the Pasuk said to hang them neged HaShemesh. Hanging them is part of the onesh, the punishment. All right, so from this you can deduce that you can't punish them at night. Fine. The punishment, the executions had to be done in broad daylight. But still in all, the question arises, but we're not talking about the punishment phase, we're talking about the verdict phase, we're talking about Gmar Din. So the Meiri says, once I know that the execution has to be by daylight, I could deduce that the Gmar Din cannot be at night. Why? You can't say that the Gemar Din would be at night and the hanging would be by day. Shim Kain Nimtzeis Ma'an Adino. Because if you're going to do that, then you're going to fall into a different problem, which is the problem of Inui Hadin. So the Meiri says that you'd become involved in the problem of Inui Hadin. Inui Hadin is to afflict the person with suffering. Well, that is to say that once he's found guilty, he has to be executed immediately, because any delay is an additional affliction of pain, which that's not part of the penalty. That's not part of his onesh. The onesh is Misa, but he's still a human being, obviously. He's still a Jew. And as we'll see, the halacha v'ahavta l'rayach kamocha takes place even in terms of the execution. Baror lo Misa yofeh. To select for him a decent type of a, even in executing the death penalty, there are many halachas that are based upon v'ahavta l'rayach kamocha. So you can't be ma'an esdino, because therefore I could deduce that you can't conclude the trial at night, because if he's found guilty, so then he's going to be chayav misa. But then you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait for morning, for daybreak. Whether it's from the time of dawn, or whether from it's a haneitz, whatever it is, it says neged HaShemesh would imply at least sunrise, but whatever, that's not the issue. It's still going to be a wait. He's going to have to wait. So therefore, I can deduce that you can't have din nefashos gemar din balayla, because of the problem of inui hadin. As we saw, there are other mefarshim that argue with this. That argue with this, and we're going to try and understand the argument. And they say that this is not the reason. This is not a good reason. That is to say, the question will boil down to, given that I know that you can only have executions by day, could I deduce from that fact that you can't have any judgment at night? Because this will lead to the problem of a gap in time and Inui Hadin. Meiri says I could deduce it from that, and the others question and say, no, that's not the reason. This is a significant machlokus. That's not the reason, because you can structure it. If you see that it's going towards conviction, you can structure it in such a way that it ends that you do the actual verdict towards morning. Ashmaras HaBoket, towards morning, and then straight from there you begin the proceeding. So you can avoid this gap. In other words, there's nothing inherent. There's nothing in this halacha of Hoka, Neged HaShemesh, that would inherently disqualify Lila. True, it's a problem. It does create a problem. It's just it is a technical difficulty, but it's the kind of difficulty which would not categorically eliminate Laila. You just have to work it out in such a way that there's no gap in time. So you wait towards morning, and you do the, you conclude the din right before daybreak, and if it's guilty, then you proceed. And you get him out there, Negra Shemesh, and this issue, this problem that he cites can be avoided. So they say that's not what the Gemara meant. That's not what the Gemara meant. But of course, so that's the question. So what did the Gemara mean? So where do they find the proof that we're looking for, that you can't have dinin nefashos balayla? Where do they find it in this incident of Ahoka? One thing must be made clear, and that is that the issue of inui hadin does not begin until which point?
Gemar din.
As long as they're deliberating, and no matter how bleak it looks to the defendant, that's not considered gemar din. I'm sorry, that's not considered inui hadin. That's not considered inui hadin because they're deliberating. But once you have a gemar din, then you have your problem. The clock, so to speak, the clock of inui hadin begins clicking. Question is being raised. Why don't we simply say that? Why do we need a proof from the Torah? Why don't we simply say that nighttime is not a good time to conduct serious matters because people get tired? It's a unconventional kind of a question. I agree. I think it's a legitimate question that should be addressed. And there's a lot of truth, it would seem, in the world at large, that most significant activities, serious activities, ceremonies, swearing-in ceremonies, and business meetings, and so on and so forth, essentially is by day. Even though today's world is a lot that's done at night as well, but all things being equal, when you set up a time for something significant, the inauguration of the president and whatever, things of that sort generally are done in the daytime. The answer I would give is the phenomenon of Halanas Adin is something else. That's true, that Halanas Adin is overnight, and the Rambam gave the program that the Dayanim are not supposed to just be eating and drinking. They're supposed to be studying and thinking and working on the case, but that's not an official functioning of Beis Din. That's a recess. He's instructing the Dayanim. He's instructing them what the Dayanim want to do. But the Gemara here is talking about the Beis Din actually engaging in din, in concluding the case. If they are prepared, if they're prepared to conclude the case, they've done their Masa Matan, and maybe they've done their Halana. So let's say it's day two, because it's for conviction. We're talking about a case for conviction. It's day two. And they deliberated on day two. And now it's nighttime. They have not yet been gomer the din on day two. So they fulfilled the requirement of halana. They don't have to do any more halana, but they're still deliberating. People are still talking and arguing. And now it's an hour into the night, and they want to do the gemar din, so they can't do it. That is to say, once night comes, all the proceedings come to a halt. What the gemar is searching for is really the objective criteria. We're talking about objective criteria now. And in terms of objective criteria, we have to find something which would disqualify Laila. All things being equal, why can't you dine at night? Now, you're going to ask me if people are tired. People can be tired during the day too. And what if a person has a terrible headache and he can't function? Or what if there's an outbreak of flu among the Dayanim? These are all subjective things. And that is within the framework of the personal responsibilities of the Dayanim to either to recuse themselves. A person, a Dayan, can get up and say, I don't feel, I can't think straight. So what's he supposed to do? So he'll recuse himself and he'll appoint somebody else in his place. Well, let's say they decide that we're all very tired, we need to take a break. So they could do that. That goes without saying. That's incorporated into their responsibility to engage in the case with all of their capabilities. That's the role of a dayan. So therefore, the Gemara is not getting into that and saying that people are tired at night. Not everybody's. It's not necessarily the case. You can't tell me that now nightfall is what, 4:30, 5 o'clock, that at 5 o'clock everybody becomes tired. And nobody can continue. To the contrary, one can argue that it's even better. People don't go to sleep at that time. So those are purely subjective criteria. And our assumption over here is that all the Dayanim would be in agreement that they're prepared to continue, that they're not tired, and they're prepared to continue. And then the question arises, given that that's the case, is there an objective obstacle over here? And the Mishnah said there is. The Mishnah said you can't, but you need enough fashos in Dunin, Malayla. So the Gemara wants to know why. We're looking for something which objectively disqualifies Lila, not a state of the particular person. That's a subjective phenomenon. Now, they reject the notion of the Meiri. And that exactly is what the issue is. They reject the notion. They're saying that it's not sufficient. The fact that you only execute by day is not sufficient to derive an injunction, a prohibition against judging at night, because of the issue of Inu Hadin, because Inu Hadin can get around, can be circumvented. So therefore, now we'll turn to them. So we'll say, okay, fine. So then how do you deduce, how do you derive that you cannot have Dini Nefashos Balayla from Vahoka Osam? Oh, they have a very simple answer. And that is to say, if you read the Pasuk states two things. Kachas Rashi Am, take the leaders of the people. That's a reference to what? Take, as we've deciphered, take them and set up Batei Dinim, A. And Vahoka Osam, and hang the guilty ones. Neged HaShemesh is a reference to everything in the Parsha. The Neged HaShemesh is not only connected to part B, it's not only connected to the execution, it's connected to the Kachas Rashi Am. Take them. If that's the case, it's very simple. There's no deduction. But it's derived from the pasuk itself. It's interesting to note that the ones who question the Meiri and say that if your problem is Inui Hadin, then it can be circumvented, as we've said. But they might have asked a different question, which they don't ask. They might have asked a different question and said, okay, even if I accept your reason, but there's another flaw with that reason. They mentioned one scenario in which you could avoid Inui Hadin. There's a better scenario to avoid Inui Hadin.
What was case?
What about a case where you find them innocent? Let's go. This reasoning that's being brought would only work even according to the Meiri. Say the Meiri doesn't like that idea of playing around with the clock and working it out. And he says, Laila's not the time because you can't execute at night. But what about, so fine. So then you could say, okay, I'll agree with the Meiri, but that reason should only explain why you can't do conviction. Gemar din of chav balayla, right? Because the problem that you're adducing, the problem of Inui Hadin is one that only applies to conviction. But why can't you do a Gemar Din of Schus? Not to mention all the other factors that for Schus, we always want to be going with the Din for Schus and so on and so forth, but it would seem that there's no difference, right? You can't do Gemar Din even for Schus. My question is, why can't you do acquittals at night? Gemar Dins of acquittals at night. The only reason the Meiri is adduced is, even if you accept it and you don't have a problem with it, would be one which applies to convictions, because convictions have to be followed by executions, and they are the ones that trigger the issue of Inui Hadin. But acquittals, aside from the fact that that's really what we want, but I'm not mentioning that, I'm merely saying it doesn't contain the problem of Inui Hadin, obviously, to the contrary. Those who differ with the Meiri and learn that it's because simply the pasuk, it's exeris hakasav. Neged HaShemesh is not just talking about the execution, it's talking about the trial. So then there's no question, I have no question on that. Because that's simply saying that it's inherently possible. That's it. Dini Nefashos have to be conducted by day. And even if you want to save him, as we've said, the saving has to take place through din. And if there's no din in nefashos, if you can't have it b'laila, you can't have it b'laila, so you have to wait till the next day. If you couldn't, if you ran out of time, and it looks good though, it looks like the arguments for schus are building up. So there's a good shot of acquitting him. So then you'd have to postpone until tomorrow. You would not conclude it. It's important to mention, anyhow, that, because you could have this phenomenon, that we're heading towards chus, but we run out of time. It's at least for that day. It becomes night. Then you have to break and postpone. Even though our objective is really to save him. On the other side, we now can have a greater appreciation of the principle that the malamit chus is not chozer malamit cho. So you are locking in your schusim. At least for the shas ma'asumatan. You're locking them in. Of course, there's always a risk. There's always a risk. And that is that people who were malamit chus may have a change of heart. And they, even though they can't argue in the ma'asumatan for chov, they can't do so, but in the gemar din. There's always that possibility that if we would conclude the din now, we'd have an innocent verdict, and if we wait till tomorrow, it's possible people change their mind. But I don't know that that's a factor. I mean, if that's the din of fashas is only beyom, the gemar. So apparently, even the argument of v'hitzilu was not sufficient to push this aside. I just need to clarify certain things that are emerging from the type of questions that we're getting over here. People are confusing halanas adin, and the Rambam explained what takes place in halanas adin. When the dayanim break up into pairs or even alone, and they're supposed to stay up and learn and study the case, and they can't drink wine or eat too much because they're supposed to remain in a state of alertness to think and think and think. That is not masu matan. Masu matan is an official procedure of the Sanhedrin. That's why we had all these concepts. We were talking about that it has to be done in a certain way. That means that's a public beach. Who has a right to participate? For example, a Talmud who wants to be Malamed Schus can participate. If he wants to be Malamed Chov, he can't participate. We're talking about what? We're talking about the formalized procedure where you get up and everybody listens. You get up and you talk publicly and people listen to you and the scribes write it down and it becomes part of the official proceedings. But privately a Talmud can't talk. That's something else. Private conferences and so on and so forth, discussion up and back and up and back, that's not what we're talking about. Masa umatan, we're talking about the formalized masa umatan. And that's what we're, that's all these rules that we learned, the malame schus, einachos, and malame chav, all these things are talking about the formalized. But the halacha sadin is not a formalized proceeding. That's a halacha in the dayan himself. Now, an answer is being suggested that what I'm saying really is not applicable. You can never have such a phenomenon because I'm presuming that if you conducted the trial in the daytime and you see that it's going towards a schus, that it would be a good idea to go into the night. You could avoid the problem of the Me'iri because then we just go into the Gemar Din of Balayla and we'd have an acquittal. We wouldn't have the problem of Inui Hadin. Now the answer is that's being suggested that this is not possible. We don't have such a phenomenon due to the fact that even if we have everybody voting L'schus in the Masa Umatam, we still don't know that we're going to be Gomer L'schus because, again, this now emerges as a very strong point. The point is that, true, Malamed Schus Eino Chozer Malamed Chov, but that's only during the duration of the Masu Matan. But once you go into Gemar Din, that prohibition is removed. And now he's free. So you always have that possibility that there'll be a change. And therefore, how a person functioned in terms of the Masu Matan is not a guarantee, so to speak. Free will still remains. And therefore, the Meiri's argument is valid, that nighttime is not the time, is disqualified, so to speak, for Gemar Din because of the problem of conviction, and conviction always inevitably brings you into this issue of Inui HaDin. This doesn't work because this answer is only valid according to Rav. Well, of course, we paskin like Rav. That's true that we paskin like Rav. But the answer that you give in explaining the Mishnah has to make sense according to both positions. Because the Mishnah said that you can't be Gomer Balayla. And if the idea that you can't be Gomer Balayla applies equally to Schus, and is based upon the idea that you can always change from your position from Schus in Masa Umatan to Gmar Din, so then you couldn't have the position that argues with Rav. That position wouldn't make sense. It would be in contradiction with the principle that there ain't Gomer Balayla. So therefore, that can't be the answer. The position of the Meiri has to be one which is compatible with all the positions. But you see, according to that answer, it would not make sense to have another position which maintains that Malamei Tzchus eino chos or Malamei Chav afilo b'gmar den. That wouldn't make sense anymore. But you see that's a valid position, and the Gemara never rejected. By the way, in all the argumentation between the two positions, the Gemara never sought to disprove that position by saying if that's the case, why can't we do the Gemara Din Balayla? They never that had nothing to do with it. On a practical level, I don't think that would be sufficient. On a practical level, when to be Gomer the Din? You see that's the Rambam says Matzlo Schus. If they find the Schus, they pater him. So the objective is to pater him. And they can make that decision. They can see how it's going. They can see, they know the nature of the arguments and how many are lining up on this side and how many are lining up on the other side. So they can make a decision. Let's go to Gemar Din, because they're convinced. They know that the Gemar Din will be acquittal. So you know, technically speaking, a Schus can be Chazer. Technically speaking, that doesn't mean that you don't have a good sense as to where it's going. That's not the reason. That is not the reason. That's not the answer to this question that we've raised. We're getting back now to the basic machlokas between the Meiri and the others. And the question is, given that we know that you can't execute at night, only execute by day, given that we know that you can't have Inu Hadin, that is a waiting period between Gemar Din and execution, does this lead us inevitably to the conclusion that you can't have Gemar Din Balayla? That is the Machlokas. Now, in terms of an approach to the Machlokas, I always start out by saying which side makes more common sense, which is more appealing in a common sense basis. On the surface, superficially, it would seem that the argument they've raised against the Meiri makes sense. Practically speaking, you could do it by Shmaras Baka, which is still Laila. Towards morning, right before morning, it's still considered Laila. And then immediately you go into the day and you avoid the problem. So, okay, so if you have a solution, so what's the problem anymore? So that side makes common sense. So let's focus on the Meiri. Well, why doesn't he agree with that? Does he not agree because of practicality? You can't always do your timing right? But then you're going to get bogged down into an issue of practicality. It's not really a machlokas. Bear in mind, the Meiri must be answered assuming that he agrees that from a technical standpoint, it can be arranged this way. But it all has to do with definition, with how he defines the matter. It seems to me that the answer is, it depends on how you define the prohibition, how the phenomenon of Inui Hadin is measured. Now, most people would tend to agree with those who criticize the Meiri. If you're judging it purely from a subjective standpoint, the suffering of the individual, that's how you're measuring the phenomenon of whether there's Inui or whether there's not Inui. Is there Inui or there's not Inui? So that means that in terms of the Gavra, there can't be any interruption. So then you could structure it. You could have it at the Ashmaras Boka, which is still Laila, and then you can go ahead. That's how the others structure it. And therefore, they say that can't be the reason. But the Meiri learns in a different way. The Meiri learns that it's an objective phenomenon. And even if you can have a situation from one standpoint that he will not be suffering, he agrees with that. But if the way the halacha of Ini Adin is structured means to say that there can't be any hefsek between Gemar Din and between execution. And hefsek can be measured in two ways. One hefsek can be measured purely and subjectively, from the subjective standpoint. But the halacha is structured in accordance with object. The objective standpoint means that it's going to be in two different zmanim. To have the Gemar Din in one zman and to have the execution in a different zman, from an objective standpoint, is a hefsek. It's two different zmanim. So even though you'll argue, but in this particular case, the way it worked out circumstantially, he's not going through the suffering, that's fine, that's philosophy, that's the reason of the din. But the structure of the halacha itself is measured in objective terms. That's an inner din because it's a hefsek. It's a hefsek, even though this hefsek doesn't result in any particular personal suffering, it doesn't make any difference. From the standpoint of objectivity, it means to say that as was stated before, that it has to be one unit of Gemar Din and execution. In order to be one unit, there can't be any hefsek. And once there's a hefsek, it's no longer one unit. And that would be two different times. You're having this in one time and that in a different time. So from an objective standpoint, there is a hefsek. That's the machlokas. As far as the other question is concerned, that this would only be a problem in terms of conviction because it's an issue of inu hadin, that doesn't matter. Because in determining the appropriate zman, this has to be a zman which is roi for dini nefashos. If it's not roi for dini nefashos, it's true that the factor, is one of ini adin, and that only would be in a situation of a conviction. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the time must be appropriate for the process of dini nefashos. No matter. And now it's not. It's disqualified from dini nefashos because the possibility always exists that there will be a verdict of conviction, and then you'll have the problem of ini adin. So once that's the case, it's an objective phenomenon. It's an objective phenomenon, and because of this, this is the reason. But the actual result of that is that Lila is disqualified. Because the time that you choose has to be fit for dini nefashos per se, no matter what the outcome would be. And since it's not fit for this particular outcome, so then it's disqualified from dini nefashos completely. So that's just going to be a very loose parallel or some type of an analogy. You have something similar, it's different. I'm just using it for rough descriptive purposes to make the point. With regard to sukkah, that a sukkah has to be your dira, your place of dwelling for 7 days. I mean, to a large extent, people don't take the seriously. That means that it has to be fit for all of the activities. It has to be fit for daytime, it has to be fit for nighttime, it has to be fit for eating, it has to be fit for sleeping. So let's say you build the sukkah in a place where you wouldn't sleep because it's too dangerous. But at night it's too dangerous, nobody would sleep there. But in the daytime, you wouldn't mind eating there. In the daytime, it's not dangerous. You don't have the criminals in the daytime. So then the question is, can I eat there in the daytime? Because in the daytime it's safe. Now, of course, I can't sleep there at night, even if I'm willing to take a chance, because it's not considered to be a viable dira. That goes by not just by you, that goes by the general, generality. But the question is, could you eat there in the daytime? You can't even eat there in the daytime because it's not defined as a sukkah, because a sukkah has to be defined as a dwelling place. And it dwells in its entirety, which means to say that it's qualified. The fact that there's one vital activity that it doesn't qualify for, that's disqualified, even with regard to those activities that it's qualified for. So it's a similar but not identical phenomenon over here. That dini nefashos, when they convene the time, it has to be a time which is qualified, which is viable for the conduct of dini nefashos. Here we're talking about Gemar Din. So, Laila, is Laila a time for Gemar Din? given that Gemar Din includes Schus and includes Chov. And one of those is simply ruled out because of the problem of Vini Adin. So therefore, Laila per se is not considered to be the Zman for Gemar Din. You can't differentiate it anymore. You can't split between this Gemar Din and that's a particular. The psul is in the phenomenon of having a Gemar Din Balaila. Once you have that because of one particular outcome, it disqualifies Laila per se.